with you in bed, in the shower. The Big Show with PT on 3BA.
A day late and an hour earlier than usual. Alex Chelios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Good morning to you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. Public holiday down here for the Melbourne Cup yesterday, so sorry about that.
That's okay, I forgive you. Although you should apologise for every public holiday.
No, we've got to have public holidays. We need a little bit of a rest. You're the only person in Australia who doesn't believe in having a rest for a public holiday.
Silly. Anyway.
Off air, I said to you, Alex, let's not discuss politics. So, who are you going for?
Biden.
I don't know whether you caught this earlier this morning. I know you're all over what's going on in the US election. But have a listen to this, Alex, and see if you can pick up the Donald Trump furphy, all right? You ready? Mm-hmm. Here we go.
No, I'm not thinking about concession speech or acceptance speech yet. Hopefully, we'll be only doing one of those two, and you know.
Did you pick it up?
Yeah, look, I.
Hopefully, we'll only be doing one of those two. Well, obviously, if you win, you'll do an acceptance speech, and if you don't, you'll be saying goodbye.
No, but you know what? He has made it very clear that if he doesn't get in, he's not going to just let it go. So I think it's a really important vote, more than ever this time. And I hope, they've had record numbers going out to vote today, which is amazing.
Mm.
I just hope they vote the right way.
Yep, and, well, as you said, if Biden gets in, I reckon he'll make the phone call. But let's shoot the breeze about other topics this morning. And COVID is also on our list today, and how AI, artificial intelligence, could detect COVID through a mobile phone recorded cough.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really cool technology. It was actually thought of before COVID, but as a way of trying to understand people who may have different diseases. And there was a technology that was built that could actually confirm 98.5% of coughs from people who have confirmed to have COVID. And the way it works is that the algorithm picks up vocal sentiments, it picks up things like vocal cord strength, it picks up lung capacity, picks up biomarkers that actually can identify and diagnose a disease, including muscular degradation. So this could be a very important way forward for people who don't have access to tests. It's not going to solve the current pandemic, but what it can do is, if technology like this sits in the background, it can help mitigate future pandemics.
So it's currently being worked on, yeah?
So it's currently being worked on. The studies around the findings have actually been released. They've collected more than 70,000 recordings, each containing several coughs, some 200,000 forced cough audio samples. So we know that over 2,500 recordings were submitted by people who have COVID, and then this information collectively helps them be able to create the AI framework to take it to market.
Now, interesting topic moving on, Alex Chelios, given that Sean Connery, 007, James Bond, passed away just in the last couple of days, very, very sadly. There's a psychology behind how every time a celebrity dies, we on social media make it about us. Tell us more, please.
So it's interesting. When I was at school, I remember River Phoenix had died, and a lot of people didn't go to school because of it. Same thing happened with Kurt Cobain. And grieving celebrity deaths is actually a lot like grieving somebody that we know. The interesting thing is, we mock people who make it about them. So often now what happens with social media is, if somebody passes away that's well known, people post the one selfie they got with that person, or they retell the story. I mean, Trump recently did a story on Twitter about his experience with Sean Connery. And that's very much in line with what most people do on social media when somebody who is famous dies. And it has a lot to do with collective sense of loss. It's if for a lot of people, they feel connected to the celebrity. The celebrity's artwork, whether that's music, whether it's a film, whatever it might be, is actually markers in that person's life. So often it can be an integral part of your childhood or some sort of formative experience in your life. And that's why celebrities can play a big part of our daily lives and give us a sense of escape. So when would they die, we do grieve.
Okay, that's very interesting. So, for example, I get to, I'm very lucky to get to hang out with a lot of Australia's music stars, and just a couple of years ago, one of those passed away, and a great performer by the name of John English, and I found a photo of me and John, and I put it up on Facebook. Does that mean I'm making it about me?
You're making it about you, and you're doing a tribute. There's nothing wrong with doing that. It's just mindful and awareness.
Hmm. And now I'm aware that you've brought it up. Thank you. Not often, I thank you. Let's wrap up this morning, Alex, with scary movies. Are you a fan?
Yeah.
I do love a good scary movie.
Me too.
How do scientists determine the most scary movie ever?
So scientists actually did a study recently where they got a whole bunch of people sitting in a film studio to watch different scary films. And what they actually did was they measured the through MRI scanners the brain regions of the individuals to see how they responded to the films. They also then sent out 110 participants into a haunted house experience and found where there was almost like a Goldilocks zone in their brain, which is where they can be frightened but still have fun without getting too scared. So there's this sort of like sweet spot around where it comes to fear. And so it really then becomes around trying to understand what is it about a film that actually gets somebody excited. For a lot of people, their heart rates can be monitored, and then there are certain scenes that can affect them physically and mentally. And it's why, for some people, they actually don't like scary films because they can't relax during them. But for other people, like myself and maybe you, we enjoy it because it's the thrill of the fear.
Yeah.
And it's escapism.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you name off the top of your head a favourite scary movie?
Well, it's not a favourite, but I just finished watching The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Oh, what's that like?
It was fun.
If I had to pick one, Freddy Krueger would be it for me. A Nightmare on Elm Street. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't seen that. I'm into haunted, scary films where it's sort of like emotionally scary. I'm not into blood and guts. So I can't get into Saw and those films where like it's quite gory.
Did you say Thor?
Saw. S-A-W.
Oh, Saw. Sorry, I've got a picture of Chris Hemsworth in my head, and I'm thinking, how is that blood and gore? But anyway, Saw, I love Saw.
See, I find that too gory.
Oh, no.
See cut up bodies and...
Oh, yeah.
I did watch His House, which is a film about asylum seekers coming to London and being put into a house by a government and the house is haunted.
Yeah, see, I dig that sort of stuff too, but I also love the blood and gore side of scary movies. Alex Chelios, always a pleasure to shoot the breeze, and we'll do it again proper day, proper time next week, all right?
Thank you so much.